All right, item 13A, page 58, Assembly. Resolution number 12-25-2005 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, approving FY 2026 budget amendment for the full payment of the contract with eForce, RMS, and CAD software for the police department.
Move to approve the FY 2026 budget amendment of the full payment of the contract with eForce RMS for the police department, totaling $68,472.42.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Otteson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Administrative report here.
Pass this one off to Police Chief Gene Meek.
All right.
Good evening again.
Yes. So, and for the public, RMS stands for your record management system.
Yes.
And CAD, computer aided dispatch.
That is correct. That is correct. So going back a couple months ago, we got hit with a perfect storm. Our server crashed. The motherboard went down. It's a server that is hosted in the building. Rob Marshall did an excellent job getting our server migrated to the cloud with a criminal justice information systems compliance, CJIS, if anybody looks for the acronym. And we thought we were going very well, very smoothly, but when the server crashed, it took out our records management system, or RMS. So if you go back to when this RMS was implemented back in 2001, all those records are gone. So we have paper copies, but it's a very difficult to look up things without a name or a time period. We went to contact the vendor, and the vendor no longer exists. We're gone. We can't get clearance codes. We can't get patches. eForce may be able to jailbreak our old system and get that data back, but that's kind of secondary. What we're looking at is a new record management system, one that is CJIS compliant, one that is able to provide the data necessary for the FBI's, it used to be the old Uniform Crime Report, but it's actually our local data reporting to the federal system. It simplifies a lot of the information that we gather, and it's very user-friendly. eForce came in. I went to the International Association of Chiefs of Police shopping for a good vendor. We looked at Axon. They were close to $200,000. We looked at, not Microsoft, but a... give me just a second. I'm trying to remember. Motorola. Motorola, if we partnered with Petersburg and used their server, they would charge us about $175,000 for the same system to include CAD and RMS. And with us using our own servers, that would have been closer to double that amount. eForce will host our information on their server for both CAD and our RMS for that cost of $68,000. In addition, they provide, as part of their system, a records management system. So the, not records management, evidence management system. So part of the RMS will be evidence management. Our current evidence management is still done on a typewriter. So the officer gets a evidence card back. He goes in, he finds the evidence, he plugs it into a typewriter. This will be more efficient because he'll just get the evidence and use a scan code to be done. Along with the RMS system comes the computer-aided dispatch system, the CAD. This is going to make our department way more efficient in our dispatching capability. We will have information readily available at our fingertips. We'll be able to incorporate the fire department. We'll be able to push a instant notification out via smart device to all the volunteers in addition to the radio call, and it will have a synopsis of the call system going out. This system for $68,000 is the equivalent to all these major manufacturers. They carry multiple other departments across the nation. I've personally worked with them once before. It's going back about 7 years ago. So they're a very professional organization, very law enforcement friend.
Is there a yearly fee?
There will be a yearly fee of approximately $8,000.
In addition to the $68,000.
Yeah, $68,000 gets us established with all the software. They personally write the program for our department. They do implementation, just like our DataMark. We're getting the GIS. They'll be able to drop that into our CAD system so that the maps and information auto-populate into your system, which gets automatically transferred into the RMS system.
So our new addressing system
will be compliant with the system.
Okay. That's, and then the this, it doesn't have a budget, an account number. Is this budgeted to the police department?
To the police department, correct.
Questions, Assembly? Comments? Assembly Member DeBoard?
We'll make sure the museum gets a typewriter whenever we get this.
I've thrown out 20 broken typewriters. I might have one or two functioning ones that they can use. I would like to say I'm exaggerating on that 20 broken typewriters, but I had 20 of them down in our old record store.
No, I believe it. I believe it. Any other comments, Assembly Member Mock?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. So, you know, you mentioned Motorola's $200,000. It almost seems like this is too good to be true. I just want to make sure this is covering everything you want, everything I guess we need. I know you probably want a lot of stuff, but
oh yeah, but you know, there's a little bit more bells and whistles I'd like to add to it, but this is what we need, and this is what's going to push us forward out of the 20th century into the 21st. It is very modular, so we can do updates to it very simply. They will host it and they can push out updates to the actual software without having to go through a hardcore server. They're a wonderful system. I can't brag on them enough, but I have worked with them before. So
yeah, I was just going to ask you if you've worked with them before. Okay. Assembly Member DeBoard.
How long before you think you'll get to implementation in and this will go live?
We are looking at going live at the latest by February. If we start pushing, there's some data entry that we'll need to do as far as putting in 40 firefighters and their cell phone numbers. Our state statutes will auto-populate, but we have to go through them line by line to make sure that they are the most current version and that they're the most up-to-date. There will be some data entry as far as just common addresses. Alpine, if you plug it into the system, at least we'll have an address to go with it now. The mushroom house, it doesn't look like a mushroom anymore, so I got confused on that. But it'll give me a physical address that I can go to. So there will be some data entry between Ms. Karen, Jamie Howell, myself, the sergeant. It'll go together pretty quick. And then E-Force will fly up a representative to personally train our dispatchers and officers in the functionality of the system.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Any other comments, questions? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly Members DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Odison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powers? Yeah. Or Powell? Sorry.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Thank you, Chief.
Folks, I'd like to hang out with you, but kind of like Tom, I've had an early morning.
So yes.
I will excuse myself.
Thank you for everything the police department has done. Okay, item B, page 63, Assembly Resolution Number 12-25-2006 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, to amend the FY 2026 budget in the amount of $18,364 to allow for the purchase of a Cobra firing system for the 4th of July celebration.
Move to approve a budget amendment of the amount of $18,364 to allow for the purchase of a Cobra firing system for 4th of July celebration fireworks show.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Odison.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll pass this off to Chief Buness to talk about.
Good evening, everyone. So a lot of this kind of comes down to safety. Right now, we're currently shooting the fireworks. The closest fireworks are about 80 km away when we're shooting with our archaic system that we have right now. And we did have some excitement this last year, which kind of prompted a little more push to get this project across the finish line. Ultimately, in addition to adding safety, it should reduce our overall number of hours needed to set up, which could potentially lead to us shooting on different days of the year. I won't promise too much in that regard before consulting with the chamber and other people as well. As we're setting everything up out there with our system now, it's all done with cables. So we have a centralized box that we're shooting from, and we're running cables out to each individual rack, sometimes multiple cables to each rack. So you have lots of different possible tripping hazards if you're trying to go out there in the middle of a show, if you have a malfunction. The system that we have is very modular, or the system that we would like to get is very modular. It'll allow for some expansion of the show to putting some water cakes or different cakes out on the dolphin, and just not having to connect them all with wires. And if we do decide to add some more larger fireworks into the show, say on a barge, we could put a small amount of fireworks on that barge with one of these shot boxes and be able to remotely fire them. The one that we have now, I haven't looked into it, but I'm pretty sure that it's not NFPA compliant to NFP 1123 or 1126. The new system is fully NFPA compliant and all the safeguards that are required for it. The shop box that we would like to obtain is kind of the baseline industry standard. There are a lot fancier ones out there, but this one meets our needs. The operator could be sitting in the crowd with their family and initiating the show remotely up to 1,000 feet away, which I think is, from a safety standpoint, definitely adds a lot. Any question for me?
Okay. Assembly? Well, for safety, I always dread every 4th of July a fireworks show, hoping that no one gets hurt.
Yeah, and the system that we have now was homemade here in town in the either late 80s or early 90s. So it is well past its useful life.
Strike that from the record. We don't want to hear that. All right, Assembly, any questions? All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powers?
Yes.
Ma?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
DeBort?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Chief. Get some sleep.
Have a good night, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks,
all right. Item D, Assembly, page 91, resolution number 12-25-2008 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, affirming the borough's commitment to partnership with the Alaska Mental Health Trust Land Office and supporting continued progress toward a mutually beneficial land exchange.
Move to approve resolution number 12-25-2008.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Audison.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is a really important resolution. I know that it kind of seems a little bit like a housekeeping item, but Alaska Mental Health Trust, many of you guys know, they're kind of a subsidiary of the Department of Natural Resources. They are a for-profit entity. They have a million acres across Southeast or across Alaska. And those profits go towards mental health across the state and other initiatives. So as a large landholder in the borough, we've been strategically partnering. We do have an MOU with them, partnering on different land exchanges, resource development, timber harvest, tourism now we're partnering with them on, which is really exciting. Love the crew at the Trust Land Office. Their executive director is Jesse Warner. We have a 27-acre parcel right next door to, adjacent to the golf course and Ketchikan Ready Mix. It's zoned light industrial. It's on the water side, granite sand beaches, nice view of Wrangell Mountain, that type of thing. And so we've proposed exchanging that for some other land holdings that they have. We're not in a place where we can share what those are at this point because they're still being developed and under negotiation, but we will have those for disclosure here in the new year. We did have an appraisal situation where the one that appraised for $1.65 million, the other lands that we're looking at appraised for about $400,000. So there's a huge margin for us, and we're trying to make that up with other land holdings. And so we'll have a whole package to present to the Assembly in January and February. we wanted to pass this resolution just to support going through their resource management committee. That's the first step. It's kind of like the Port Commission or Planning and Zoning to the Alaska Mental Health Trust Land Office. And so they'll approve that at the resource management committee level, and then it'll go to their board. Their board meets, Board of Trustees, February 18th, I believe, February 18th and 19th. And then we would propose a final conveyance, a little bit of a, we might even host a public hearing, probably, just given there hasn't been a ton of public comment on this, given we don't know, we haven't disclosed what we're exchanging for at this point. And that would happen on February 24th, which is, I believe, the second meeting in February. And then we have our land exchanges executed and move on to partnering on other initiatives. But can't thank the Trust Land Office enough. They've been a really valuable partner to us on the timber front and other initiatives, but just reinforcing the partnership and trying to compel their resource management committee to push this thing forward.
Good. And we did have an MOU executed, and this resolution is not any approval of any final land exchange. It's just a affirming our commitment to partner.
That's correct.
Yeah. Any comments or questions, Assembly? And we'll be going through a lot of partnerships and MOUs with our EDA grant application.
That's correct.
So this is us. All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13E, and Assembly Member Mock is sitting out on this item. Resolution, it's on page 95, Assembly. Resolution number 12-25-2009 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2026 budget to appropriate $17,837 for cold storage maintenance costs pursuant to the sixth amendment with Trident Seafoods and authorizing its expenditure from the Marine Service Center Port and Harbor Fund.
Move to approve resolution number 12-25-2009.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Audison.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So we do own a cold storage facility here funded by an EDA grant back in 2006, eligible for sale this May. Trident, be really great. And Trident is the current tenant of that facility. We did have a sixth lease agreement signed with them that had a different cost share for maintenance work, preventative maintenance, but also some much needed overhauls. You know, the ammonia system in there is really important to stay on top of and comply with the prevailing regulations. So in that, and if you look at section six of the sixth lease agreement, there is a cost share on those maintenance activities. It's 50% up to $15,000, and then anything over that to be funded by the lessor upon approval. I didn't really approve these proactively, but we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. We do make $34,000 a year from the lease, and I know that it is an expensive facility to run for Trident. I know they don't make much money, if anything, on it, but it is a community-driven enterprise that they take on. So I think to keep things in good shape, it's an easy budget amendment to consider.
Yes. Yes. And a condition of our lease. Any comments or questions, Assembly?
I will in the future work with Trident to get this in the budget in advance so we don't have to do a budget amendment.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item F, resolution number 12-25-2010 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2026 budget in the Industrial Construction Fund by accepting the revenue from the sale of industrial lots number 11 and 12, block 66 of the industrial replat for the amount of $50,000.
Move to approve resolution number 12-25-2010.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Audison.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just kind of a routine item here. These are the last two lots accepting the revenue of the 5th and 6th Avenue industrial lot expansion that we took on. All lots sold. I believe we had, what do we have, eight altogether? Eight lots?
I don't know.
I can't remember. We've been doing so much business. Eight lots altogether.
Yeah, eight new lots.
Okay. Yep. The last two, we did reduce the starting bid just to get some bites on them, $25,000 a piece. What's that?
Last three,
I'm sorry. And those will be awarded to Alan Michaud, Jordan and Shauna Buness, and Randy Bachman. They're there, have been awarded, and we're receiving the funds. So this is a budget amendment to the Industrial Construction Fund. Every dollar we receive back for these developments goes right back in as a kind of like a revolving fund for our next development.
Correct. To sell more land.
To sell more land.
Yes. Any comments or questions, Assembly? All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Yes.
Watson?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item G, page 129, approval of a memorandum of understanding between JAG Marine Group, LLC, and the City and Borough of Wrangell for long-term maritime industrial development at the 6 Mile Deepwater Port.
Move to approve a memorandum of understanding between JAG Marine Group and the City and Borough of Wrangell.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Otteson. This is very exciting.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this just isn't a routine memorandum of understanding. We've done a lot of those for the EDA grant, but this is something that would be a part of that, certainly a hallmark piece of it, but a lot more important. This is forging a public-private partnership, hopefully for multiple decades with JAG Marine Group. As I said, they have taken on as the lead tenant in the Ketchikan shipyard for Vigor. For reference, Vigor was doing about $25 million in contract sales down there. JAG Marine Group was almost triple that in their first month operating the facility. They do have plans to get up to $150 million in that facility when Vigor was doing 25. They do get about 98% of the business for District 17 Coast Guard. So they do most of Alaska Coast Guard stuff. They also will be apt to work on the ferries, barges, other defense and gray hull vessels. This is kind of their bread and butter. They have outfits, as I said, in Michigan, Norfolk, Virginia, and Seward. It's kind of a funny way of getting into business with them. But Representative Bynum wanted to protect our Marine Service Center with them taking on developments in Ketchikan. And so he reached out to me and said, do you have any concerns? Well, yeah, I do have some concerns, but I think we can get past those. And I'd want him to be here in Wrangell too.
Why?
So he set up a meeting and it was a really productive meeting with their co-owners, Tim Jaglinski and Doug Huff. He's the president and vice president. And Doug lives down in Georgia. Tim was up in Seward. They flew down 4 days later to check out the mill property, do a site visit, look through the schools, look through the Marine Service Center. And ultimately, they're proposing through this partnership, we engage into a lease agreement within 90 days of signing this memorandum of understanding for 30 acres of mill property. That's something they've already submitted a lease application for, which is very, very exciting. And they would be building a premier shipbuilding facility in the state of Alaska. And this would be the biggest development for shipbuilding and fabrication in the entire state. So that's their vision. The vision they have ultimately translates to about 400 jobs, you know, if we can pull it off. And obviously it's going to be phased and gradual into something like that. This is a company that has stopgap housing measures. I think that's characteristic to Southeast Alaska and Alaska in general. Trident wouldn't be able to house their employees here if they didn't have bunkhouses. Search has to build planned unit developments because they have so many transitory employees, and that's kind of the nature of Southeast Alaska. So these guys get it. They just built or bought a big facility in Ketchikan to house their employees. They have 4,000 to 6,000 journeymen across the United States that they have. So workforce isn't a huge deal, but we do want to offer opportunities for our local students graduating here. So they do have a good workforce development pipeline through AvTech and straight out of high school. They're very used to having seniors graduate, linked up with a journeyman and getting straight to work. So I think it's an awesome opportunity given fabrication is kind of in our blood here. And we already have a Marine Service Center functional. So again, multi-decade partnership. This is something that was great to have in advance of Washington, D.C. Visit again, Senator Sullivan in signing the ice pack. Kristi Noem was there giving a press conference on Finland, Canada, and the U.S. bringing building 16 icebreakers together. Obviously, the Storrs got housed in Juneau, but we expressed that it's an opportunity to house these in home port, these icebreakers in Wrangell, if they're going to be maintained here. So it's another strategic location. The other thing is there's a lot of tsunami and flooding risk in a lot of other places. We're strategically located 700 acres from Seattle, or 700 miles from Seattle, 700 miles from Anchorage. We're inland, so we're protected. Tsunami's not a real threat to us. So that's attractive to them. And then when we look at job growth opportunities and partnering on other things, this is a huge opportunity. I remember we've had a lot of public engagement on the mill property in my time here, but also prior to my time. And I think shipbuilding, fabrication, marine repair was one of the number one things that's been mentioned at the town halls that we've had. Oh, please don't do that. So we'll really push this partnership, and hopefully we get to a lease agreement in 90 days. I think we will. And like I said, this could be the biggest thing that Wrangell's ever seen. And if we get back to the 2,700, 2,800 population that we had when the mill was running. And I think something that's a lot more sustainable, something that's not resource dependent. And I wish I could have dreamed it up this way and planned it for all this time, but with AML putting a lease application in for the mill property, you got 1 million pounds of steel, FOB Wrangell, you got the shipbuilding company, and then you just got the scrap mill outfit right there. You got the whole life cycle of the ship right at this deep water port. And I think it's a strategic partnership across the board with all three, Tonsgaard, AML, and JEG. And I can't tell you how great these guys have been. I was on vacation in Maui and in DC, and then these guys call me every day. So really excited to partner with Wrangell. We are too. They're actually meeting with Senator Sullivan on Thursday. So it's working out really well right now. And they will be a huge part of our EDA disaster supplemental grant, as well as our PIDP application.
Yep. The $421,000.
That's correct. We also will apply for a PIDP construction grant this next September. Just continuing this phased approach to getting them to a full footprint, which is probably a $150 million facility.
Yeah. And it will not be in competition with our current Marine Service Center.
That's correct. If you look at page 130 of the packet, I made a red note there. I think there's a lot of concern that there's going to be, because JEG does do smaller ship repair too. But we will make sure that we protect our Marine Service Center industry. We don't want to cannibalize our own enterprise here. There is opportunity, though, to get this partnership off the ground quickly. They do need pier side space. They do a lot of pier side work that doesn't require dry dock haul out or airbag system haul out. So they do a lot of diesel mechanic work and other fabrication on vessels without having to haul them out. City dock, we don't use it for half the year. What a great opportunity to turn it into another profitable asset for us. This partnership with American Cruise Lines, they've been briefed on the partnership with JAG and what that could mean for them. You could have two Coast Guard cutters tied up there and being worked on in the off season, which again takes advantage of our revenue sharing provision, and it just creates a lot of different economic opportunities. So couldn't be more excited. And like I said, this is just one of the many, but probably the blue chip opportunity for Wrangell.
Well, and it ties in with our request with Senator Sullivan to have a military presence here. And if we can repair marine vessels, I'll take that. And their limit is up to the size of an aircraft carrier. Correct.
No, they can't do aircraft carriers.
Right.
Everything short of an aircraft carrier. Right.
That's their limit.
The icebreaker in Juneau, if you've had a chance to see, it's huge. The Coast Guard cutters, destroyers would be eligible for this. And as you look, as Alaska's expanding its footprint, they're talking about reopening ADAC, those types of things. It's just a very strategic location between Seattle and Anchorage to be able to.
And this would be a prime anchor tenant for the mill site.
Yeah, I grew up in the Puget Sound area. Puget Sound Naval Shipyard was the biggest employer. That's what fuels that whole region. And without it, I don't know that you have what you have where I grew up. So this is something that could be a 50-year thing, and you're not worried about trying to get some millions of board feet from the Tongass and trying to figure out how we're going to survive the next 10 years. And we can still do those things and push those issues, but this is a really great way to secure our future here in Southeast.
Yes. Comments and questions, Assembly. This is an AML view. All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members, Todd?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item H, resolution number 12-25-2011 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending FY 2026 budget in the Port and Harbor CIP fund by accepting grant funds from the Port Infrastructure Development Program and authorizing project expenditures for the Deepwater Port Development Project. Page 139.
Move to approve resolution number 12-25-2011.
Second.
Okay, motion by Mock, second by Addison.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So resolution 1225-2011, this is for accepting grant funds for $421,000 from the PIDP grant program. That is a program offered through the Federal Department of Transportation Port Infrastructure Development Program. Just met with the program leader in DC. It's been a while to get this grant agreement across the line. We did adjust some budget line items. There's been obviously a lot of development this last year, so we want to maximize the use of these proceeds. And so this will be used to help develop some of the subdivision work out there, do some of the feasibility assessment, environmental assessment work. So some of the work that's required by State of Alaska DEC for the site will be covered through this, which is really nice. If you guys all recall, we did sign a prospective purchase agreement back in June of 2022, May of 2022, mm-hmm. with DEC to cap our liability on the property to $50,000. Well, we're still bound to $50,000, so something that can be used here. And there's a lot of subdivision planning. You imagine these three stakeholders here, you got right-of-ways, you have all the easements, you have the utility infrastructure, and trying to create a plan for making all that happen. And these are very complex industries. You have one of the largest freight companies, probably the largest freight company in America, and then you have JAG, one of the premier shipbuilders in the country, and then you have Mr. Tonsgaard. So a lot of moving components to the whole thing, and this will help us get it across the line. And then we will likely use this as the impetus to apply for a construction grant through PIDP, which we've been a successful benefactor of before.
Correct.
Or beneficiary, sir.
All right. Questions, Assembly? All right. Seeing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members DeBoer?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Addison?
Yeah.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item I, page 156, one step closer to the public safety building. Approval of professional services agreement with Northwind Architects for the architectural and engineering design services for the public safety building rehabilitation project in the amount of $667,028.
Move to approve the professional service agreement with Northwind Architects for the architectural and engineering design service for the public safety building rehabilitation project in an amount of $667,028.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Addison.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So probably the second largest item, second to JAG on this meeting. The public safety building has been something we talked about since as long as the water treatment plant. So this is an exciting development. We did just get the $2.438 million through Senator Murkowski and Representative Begich. This will join our $3 million GO bond proceeds that we'll receive this spring that just got approved to move forward by AMBA, Alaska Municipal Bond Bank. So we have a $5.5 million project to put together for the public safety building. This will be the design of that project. This is roof siding, bare minimum. Just let's get the shell of the building done.
Save the building.
And so we'll, in today's points in the past, we'll pick metal siding. But really important to get this one across the line. This houses our police department, our volunteer fire department, search and rescue, customs and border patrol, dispatch, the State of Alaska court system, the DMV. I mean, this is really a centerpiece to town. And I don't want to say it wasn't maintained properly, but I think that's kind of goes without saying, right? And really important that we make these overhauls now, and we are committing to construction this summer. So we'll get that done along with the school project this summer, again, roofs and siding on the school buildings this summer, and hopefully leverage some economies of scale by mobilizing one contractor to do both jobs in the perfect world. We're just really excited to get this process started. So we did get confirmation that we'll get congressionally directed spending funds in March. So it's like perfect timing. We'll get this design work done and proceed. So We're not doing a budget amendment tonight because we already have $500,000 in the budget for public safety building design. That's something that you guys approved some time ago. I also want to make the distinction about only $300,000. This is actually design work. The other is related to construction administration and inspection. A resident inspector, as you remember, in our water treatment plant will be required. Yeah. The CDS request flows through USDA. It's always kind of flows through the respective agency, CDS for water treatment plant, EPA. And so this will be a required thing. That's the other half of the project, but well below expectations, which is exciting. Northwind Architect did do a lot of our work on our school buildings for the condition assessment for our GEO bond application. So we do have a good relationship with them, and they did get selected as the overall awardee. So I know Assemblymember DeBoard had asked me, is this just another study? And I haven't been around enough to tell you what all the borough spent in the past on the public safety building, but
we're moving forward.
This is a true design, so
this is going to accomplish something.
So we'll solicit for competitive bidding for construction in the spring for both the school and the public safety building.
Correct. Good. What time in the spring do you know? Do you anticipate?
March, April.
March, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I know Assemblymember Powell's been with me on this journey, and we've studied that building to the nth degree, so there should be very few surprises.
Well, I think we looked at one point, it was just hopping on the borough, but a new public safety building for about $35 million, mm-hmm. $25 million for a really small one. So this is... being fiscally responsible, and I can't thank the delegation enough for getting this across the line. So I promised Representative Baggett a ribbon cutting for him and a groundbreaking for Senator Murkowski on the solar. So
yes,
we'll make sure we invite him to town for these.
All right, good. The questions, Assembly Member DeBoard.
I just want to make sure that the flat roof component goes away in this.
It does go away in this. It does not go away in the middle school roof project. It's something that we weren't able to work out in the overall budget, but it does go away in the public safety building.
But we talked about the middle school we even designed it. I think Powell and I had it already designed.
Yeah.
We didn't quite address the snow load drop off, but we figured anyway. All right. Any other comments? Assembly. All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powers.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Odison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yep.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Assembly of attorneys file in the borough clerk's office, and let's get out of here at 7:43 p.m.